Cholera sent over 16,000 people to the hospital in Haiti. The death toll is over 1,000, and the dread disease continues to spread. Today, rioters again attacked United Nations forces from Nepal, whom they blame for the outbreak. Retired Colonel Gary Anderson argues all of this was completely preventable, and he proposes a solution. Send in the Marines. Colonel Anderson wrote about Haiti's cholera epidemic in the November issue of Small Wars Journal and joins us by phone from Springfield to talk about it. Nice to have you with us today.
Good to be here, Neil.
And Springfield, Massachusetts?
Springfield, Virginia.
Oh, there's so many Springfields, as we've all learned.
It's down the road.
Did you regard this cholera epidemic as preventable?
Well, cholera comes about as a result of the of poor water, contaminated water. If the water is actually fully decontaminated and purified, you basically don't have the problem. There's a little bit of a sanitation problem there too, because if people wash or defecate in the water, spread the thing, that's a problem. But the cleanliness and clean water is critical to preventing it.
When you have millions driven from their homes by an earthquake and living in often squalid tent cities, is this not a foreseeable problem?
It was a foreseeable problem, and I quite frankly, I don't know why it became a problem. I suspect it happened because a lot of the people had a tendency to move away from the affected area and settle in places where people thought things were okay. And so I suspect that the public health officials, the NGOs, and the government probably weren't paying a lot of attention to that. They were paying attention to the areas that were being rebuilt and where the epicenter of the quake occurred. I think this one snuck up on them.
It snuck up on them, though you say those NGOs and public health officials included some of the people who should have known better.
Yeah, I really don't understand why we couldn't have handled this better. Even if you've got an area where you can't get fresh water shipped to people in a refugee camp and so forth, it's preventable by handing out chlorine tablets as part of the ration the ration shipments that they get and so forth, and a good policy of public education, handing out leaflets broadcast by things like public broadcast systems and so forth, can really heighten people's awareness of that. And it is something that you expect to happen in the aftermath of a quake. Usually it happens a lot faster than it happened in this case, and I don't know why that happened, but it's a lot more preventable than it should have been in this case.
So, well, preventable or not, it has erupted. Your solution, though, might puzzle people. Send in the Marines?
Well, the reason I say the Marines, and it doesn't have to be the Marines, it can be anybody with reverse osmosis purification units and massive ways of taking fairly polluted water and turning it into fresh drinking water. The Marines have industrial strength capability to do that. Other services do. The reason the Marines, and I think to some extent the Army, would be the people to call in this type of emergency, is they can deploy them very quickly. They have the assets of the U.S. Air Force and so forth to get the things into country quickly. It's not a case of them not being available. They probably, if they were there, they were probably taken away because they thought the disaster had passed.
That disaster, there's various stages of post-crisis management, and the first one of dealing with the immediate aftermath, that most people thought had been handled.
Yeah, and I think that's the case. People know disaster experts know that you can expect the onset of waterborne diseases, but I think they thought that they had passed that position and probably got a little bit complacent on it. And this particular place where the outbreak broke out, I think, slipped through the cracks. That's the best I can do. They're going to have to do some forensics on it to figure out exactly what happened.
And we should point out, you have some experience with this. You're a retired Colonel of Marines, but you also served as a civilian on a provincial reconstruction team in Abu Ghraib, west of Baghdad, and had a problem with cholera there, in 2009?
Yeah, we had actually the problem occurred in 2008, and they had an outbreak that they were pretty good, pretty successful in keeping fairly well contained. But the water situation was even worse in 2009. And so we had to make a concerted effort to get fresh water to those areas where the water levels were particularly dangerous, to provide chlorine tablets to those people that were taking water out of the canals directly and the Euphrates River. And then we did a massive public relations campaign to convince people to properly wash, how to use the chlorine tablets. And we were fortunate not to have an outbreak in 2009. That's the way you want to do it. You want to try to nip it in the bud before it ever jumps up at you.
So a combination of providing fresh water, providing chlorine tablets, providing education, all of which seems that the NGOs in Haiti would have been well prepared for.
Yeah, I, as I say, I'm not sure exactly what caught everybody by surprise, and it may just be a case of I think the government thought that they had a handle on it, and that it may just have slipped through the cracks. One thing I think, there's two types of NGOs. Like people like Oxfam do what I would call sustainment type things to help, you know, rebuild the country. But sometimes NGOs, the medical NGOs, show up, and I think they have a tendency to provide medical care that's state-of-the-art but maybe isn't so sustainable. And I've heard a lot of complaints about that portion of NGO assistance. And I'm not I can't literally name a name because I'd probably be misstating. But I think some people are actually I think maybe they probably could have done a lot better to provide medical supplies, training, and to reinforce the existing medical system rather than kind of replace it, because that's not really sustainable.
And how do you cope with the situation, as we're seeing over the past few days in Haiti, where people are blaming outsiders, the UN troops sent in from Nepal, for the introduction of this disease?
I think that's sort of an legend. I've served with the Nepalese in Lebanon as a peacekeeper. I've seen them operate in a number of peacekeeping operations. I've never seen them accused of causing cholera before. I can't say that for certain that they weren't part of the problem, but I'd be very doubtful that that's actually what happened.
And the situation in terms of providing fresh water to these various refugee camps, they are scattered all over the countryside.
Well, that is a problem. You have a number of options. If you helicopter in a reverse osmosis purification unit, you can create water. If you've got a fairly clean water level, a fairly shallow table, you can dig what's called tube wells. You throw literally a pipe down in the ground and put on a Sears and Roebuck pump and pump out fresh water that you obviously test. And, you know, tanking in water is always an option, too. But, again, chlorine tablets, if they're properly used and properly educated, can at least take that water that you're taking out of the streams and so forth, or maybe from a polluted well, and at least make it drinkable.
We've got a caller on the line. Victor is calling from Fort Myers in Florida.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you very much for taking my call. And I agree with your guest as far as most likely sending in some force with reverse osmosis and such. But can we take one step back? The chlorine is tablets, again, used very well, are a very formidable fight to this battle that they're having there. But when Katrina hit and the entire area was affected, there was a United States company that came up, and I don't work for them, but I was just amazed with this technology. They had a type of foam technology that would be sprayed, and it would be absorbed, and it would kill. It was like a hand sanitizer in foam form brought in by tankers that would just totally go ahead and eradicate any bacteria.
And where was it sprayed onto? Onto water sources?
I think it was onto the water and land. I remember seeing this on TV. I remember there was it could have been here in Fort Myers where the technology was developed, and it foamed out like that hand foam sanitizer, and it literally just killed everything that was nasty germs. You understand, there were decaying bodies. There was rancid water sources, and it just stopped the degradation of the area in order so that it just didn't get worse. And that's possibly one reason why there was no outbreak of cholera or anything else gotten worse for that matter.
Colonel Anderson, is there, to your knowledge, is something like that that might be effective in Haiti?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that technology. Obviously, if it's effective, it would be useful. The only, you know, spraying method I know of generally has been to, you know, kill mosquito larvae for malaria, which is effective. I hadn't heard of that technology, but if it works, it works.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Victor, thanks very much for the phone call. And finally, I think you also use the catchy phrase "send in the Marines" as a way to draw attention to this. You're just talking about small units of people, whoever they are, who have access to these water purifiers.
Yeah, I'm usually the last guy to recommend yet another deployment of an overstressed force. I'm just saying that once something like cholera comes out and hits you, you need to respond pretty vigorously, because it's one of those diseases that, although preventable, can spread like wildfire, which we're seeing. That's the best I could do to think of a quick way to intervene in this thing when you got a lot of people that need a lot of water quickly.
And the other part of that is, yes, preventable, but also treatable if you can get people rehydrated.
Yeah, and I want to stress that that's not a permanent solution. We need those purification units elsewhere. That's a temporary solution to an immediate crisis. Tube wells and simple chemical purification of local water sources is a sustainable answer, and guys like Oxfam know how to do that. And I think now that they understand they have a problem in that area where it started, maybe they can get a handle on it.
Gary Anderson, thanks as always for your time.
Sure thing.
Gary Anderson, a retired colonel with the United States Marine Corps. He served as the senior governance advisor with a provincial reconstruction team in Haiti until earlier this year. His opinion piece, "Cholera in Haiti, Send in the Marines," appears in this month's Small Wars Journal. There's a link at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. When we come back, we'll have some of your letters. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.